that it has to, that Durko has not sent their condolences. I know that when Lindani Mnyeni or Adrian Nell or Willem lost their lives, I know that the DA, the A, Durko, they all came out with condolences. But when poor L.E.K. lost his life, it's a deafening silence. And I'm not sure if it's because he's Jewish, or I'm not sure if it's because he died in Israel by Hamas, that there's a silence. But I would hope that the condolences of this committee could be shared. It's a still, you know, that, and I'm sure that we can at least give our condolences to the family of a South African. It doesn't have to be the politics. We all mourn for Palestinians, and we all mourn for we all want peace on both the Israel and Palestine side. But when it comes to the life of a South African, I think we need to acknowledge that any death is any loss of life is a loss of life too many. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Bachmann. The condolences will be done. I think it was just an unfortunate oversight on office. So we will do the condolences. Honorable members, please, let's confine ourselves to the proposal. There's a proposal by Honorable Bergman that we either have a Zoom meeting or the deputies must come and represent the department in that particular meeting. Honorable Chetty.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thank you for acceding to the request by the Honorable Bergman for the condolences. I think it's important that we do that. Chair, firstly, let me just thank you for taking the issues and the concerns raised by the Portfolio Committee as serious as you have. As members of the committee, I think we appreciate the fact that you're taking us serious as well, that we're not just a talk show. So thank you for sending that letter to the minister. It is appreciated. Secondly, Chair, my hand was initially raised, but due to the absence of the acting DG, I lowered my hand. And thank you for making a note of her comment as well in your letter, because it's important that you take the committee members serious, because we're here to do serious work. Chair, I just wanted to say to you that due to the importance and time constraints, that we need to deal with this matter as soon as possible. And yes, I believe we can conduct this via Zoom. It's important. I mean, everything is happening on Zoom right now. I mean, we were in contact with some people in Nigeria just a week ago, and there was no interruptions. So I can testify to the fact that the fiber network works perfectly. And also, Chair, I don't mind the Deputy Mayor Minister substituting for the Minister, although I would have preferred her personally present so that we can get answers from her in cases where there might be some grey matter. My only concern around the deputy ministers is that in previous instances, when there were difficult questions to be answered to, they opted out for the easier way to say they will revert to the minister and get back to us. That's my only concern on that, Chair. But I do believe that we should try to expedite this, and I'm sure that you as well will want to have all of these things behind us and enjoy your Christmas lunch than having this hanging over our head. Thank you, Chair. And again, thank you for the urgency you're treating with the matter with. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chetty. Honorable Ngola.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Let me equally echo the views of the previous members on us appreciating the fact that the matters that have been raised by the committee have been escalated to the department. We can't spend much time as the committee discussing possible dates. Then you must manage that with the minister, then advise us of her availability. And I think the deputies must be our last resort, in that it's only impossible for us to secure the minister. I share the same concern with the Honorable Chetty. But at some point, Deputy Minister Azanim to provide some of the required details. Lastly, Chair, I think whether we invite Bomdas or not will be informed by the report that we'll get from the ministry. Then we take it from there. We'll see if there is a need for us to go beyond and invite former ministers. Thank you very much, Chair.
Are you done, Comrade Honorable Noel?
Yes, I'm done. I'm sure, thanks.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Honorable Hendrix.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chief. The way I know the minister, she's not scared to
But I do believe that as a committee and with a minister, we do have enough space. I mean, we won't find a place at Parliament. So I do believe it will be good to have the minister in person. It's always better to meet in person, getting it, as they say, straight to his mouth and not on a screen. So that would be my suggestion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Honorable.
No, thank you, Chair. And greetings to all our other members. So join the chorus, chair of thanking you that you made an undertaking, and you have acted very soon, and I think it's very much courage. But Chair, I just not to repeat what other colleagues safe to have left met of the day. It's between you and the minister. And then the issue that now on the fiber is raising. I think let's leave that answer also to you. Because not only that people don't come to Parliament even if people drive investigation.
And thanks for the proposals. I also met with the chair of SCOPA yesterday, and I sensitized the chair of SCOPA that the discussions in our portfolio committee may at some stage result in us having to discuss with SCOPA some matters arising from the IRC, particularly with regard to matters coming from the portfolio committee, which may require investigation SCOPA. So me and the chair of SCOPA agreed, we're on the same wavelength, that at a point when we reach that stage and we have exhausted everything and nobody will, all the mechanisms we have proposed, there'll be no problem in SCOPA taking up such a matter. So I just thought I must also bring to the attention of the committee that discussion which I had with the chair of SCOPA yesterday. Auzinel, I will request you now to do a presentation, and please just focus on the areas where we made some amendments. I know that the presentation, where there are amendments, they will be in red. So I will request members to focus on those particular areas so that we don't have a general discussion. Stay focused on those particular matters. And thereafter, I have a mover for our topic of the report. How's it now? How's it now? Okay. If Ozinel is not there, honorable members, on the screen there, you will realize that as part of the things we expect, from the minister.
Hello, Chairperson.
Is it possible investigation? So we need to put the word there, possible. Investigation based on the report you are going to get. From the minister. Relating to any role that may have been played by their predecessors. So that is area number one. Are you back, Alzinel?
Am I audible, Chairperson?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yes, Chairperson.
Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
I had already stated that we must add the word possible investigation based on the report that will come from the minister, in case you got cut.
Okay, Chairperson.
Okay.
So this on the first recommendation, Chairperson, the members. The committee had suggested that there be an addition relating to investigations on former Minister Maite Mokwane Mashabane, Minister Sisulu, and their respective Director Generals of the time for irregular expenditure. That is on recommendation one, Chairperson.
Yes, honourable members. That's the first one, possible investigation of the former ministers and the erstwhile director generals, accounting officers, based on the report that was from the minister. Any seconder?
Agreed, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Any
Chairperson? Chairperson, Honorable Faber.
Honorable Faber, over to you.
Yes, Chairperson, can we say, as you say, possible investigation, former Minister Lindi Sisulu Mashabane, for irregular expenditure, and then just maybe let's add on there, as per report,
yes.
Because, you know, if we say, yes, if we can just add that as per report, then actually we know that if the report say, obviously,
yeah,
there must be investigation, then we do that.
Yeah.
So according to the report,
so,
thanks, Chair.
I don't think anybody will have fun. Honorable Nwala, is your hand up?
No, it's an old hand, Chair, sorry.
Okay. Honorable Faber, this is an earlier hand. Okay, thank
you. Absolutely, Chair. You got me that time. I just let it go right now.
Geen probleem, bro. Dan probeer om vorentoe te gaan. How's it now?
Yes, Honorable Chair. And then, Chairperson, the other amendment was on...
Let's go to the skills audit. How's it now?
On recommendation 10, Chairperson, is with regard to skills audit targeting the finance branch, and which is what the AG and the committee has recommended. And then the amendment was that audit skills should also be conducted for all diplomats, including heads of mission.
Okay. Did we say that in the meeting that we want the skills of the heads of mission? Because the heads of missions are deployed based on the prerogative of the president, which is a constitutional requirement. What we want from them is for them to perform based on their job descriptions, on their mandate. If they don't perform, whether they've got the relevant qualifications or whatever, they must face the music. I thought that is the understanding. I thought our focus was on these people who are posted in the mission, particularly to be part of the finance sections, without having the necessary skills and qualifications. And we wanted the department to give us that particular skills audit. And maybe the thing that we need to add there, Ausi Neo, is the deadline. And maybe to say, before the end of this financial year. Honorable Msani, Osembi.
Thank you, Chair. You know, there was another point which was quite close to point number 10, which spoke about the auditing of skills. So I'm not sure. I think the silence of the committee is in relation to that. If we can see that other comment, then we'll be able to make amends to this one, because it spoke of all posts of deployments abroad. That if those audit skills are done, they must be done to all portfolios of people that are deployed abroad. And if they are found to be lack of capacity or unskilled, they will be returned home. So I think the silence is because of those two points. Maybe let's afford the opportunity to move down with the corrections, and then we'll return to point number 10. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, let's hear what other members are saying. I don't know whether this has been done in the past, that you want to know the skills of ambassadors and so on. And I thought our focus will be on the bureaucrats which are running the state rather than on people who are appointed by the president to serve as ambassadors in missions abroad. Let's hear what other members are saying. Agarana, I'm still new here, so I don't know how you members of this committee decide on other matters.
Chair.
Honorable Bargman.
Honorable Msani is right. It was point 14 where we said we also agreed and said it's the head of missions, it's the appointments, and it's now covered in the Foreign Services Bill. We used to have sometimes we had hairdressers or air hostesses that were appointed as heads of missions, and then they arrived at the missions like celebrities, so they didn't know how to manage the staff, and they, you know, there became lots of embarrassments. So that's when we wake up with the headlines at the back of the Sunday Times.
Okay.
So we're trying to
preempt it on this. But is that a consequence? Capacity or is
there yeah, just to remind all of us that no longer is in us there.
Because you can have the qualifications but still the capacity to deliver. But let's hear what other members are saying. Honorable Chetty. Followed by Honorable Mpanda.
Yeah, thank you. Chair, your assumption is correct, and that that's the assumption most of us got into this committee would assume. The fact that the people that we've been appointed as ambassadors were fit for purpose and exactly knew what was the job and what entailed and had the suitable qualifications for it. Rather unfortunately, while we were in this committee, we
but in terms of them being recalled and all those things, I think we will be entering into a terrain that does not belong to the committee. Because these people, when they are posted, their conditions of employment, the job description, as we have said, and I think there are recourse within their employment the conditions, and also in terms of policy to deal with that matter. So I think we can just leave it at the level of dealing with the skill or the skill still a fair check. Yes, you know, then we monitor the thanks very much, Chair.
Sure, Honorable Ngozi.
Good morning, Chair. And agree with you that the question on political deployment cannot through the back door. Is separate. See. Secondly, that I agree with you. Of staff deployed by the department in operational issues where it is required that they meet certain minimal requirements. The third point in support of this is that if we want to have a discussion on the qualifications of the currently deployed people, we should have that. And that would require that we ask, like we did with staff in the finance department and procurement, we asked for profiles, including academic qualifications of set ambassadors or second in charges in the various missions and diplomatic offices. And that for me would link to the first point I raised around issues of having a structured discussion on political deployment. The last point is what Honorable Bregman is trying to introduce. We are battling in this committee on the implementation of the Foreign Services Act. The department has not operationalized this act through regulations. So we cannot jump the gun ourselves, even if there is now a legal requirement. But the regulation is there yet. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hey, Honorable Ngozi. Thank you very much for that. And also for you bringing to our attention the fact that the diplomats are appointed in terms of the Foreign Service Act. If I'm not wrong, it was done somewhere in 2019. And as you say, what should accompany the act is then the regulations. They have to go together. What we can do is just an assurance from the department that everybody who is serving as an ambassador has been indeed appointed in line with the Service Act of 2019, the Foreign Service Act. For me, that will be enough. It is only when we do oversight and we discover that the response we may have received from the department may have been something to the contrary, where we can say on this particular area, we are definitely sure that somebody has been appointed contrary to the dictates of the Foreign Service Act. Then we can deal with those matters on a case-by-case basis. But I see Honorable Swartz, you are raising your hand. You are welcome, my sister. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is just to say that I don't know whether they've captured this in a correct manner, because I think that when we did our physical oversight, we asked questions in terms of staff members that would leave and go to a mission. And when they would and proper section, so that we also raised. I don't know if it has been captured here, because that was a serious concern we raised. And indeed, the response was that when a person leaves South Africa to go to a mission, they leave a particular department, but when they come back, they are allowed to be placed in any other division when they come back. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Swartz. Honorable members, can we close this matter by saying that we must get a report from the department relating to the skills audit of employees within the foreign missions? In addition, get an assurance from the department that everyone else working as a diplomat, as deployed by the president, those appointments were done in line with the Foreign Service
away the regulations, but that at the same time some assurance must be given to the committee that their posting was done in line with the act without
Chair.
Necessarily saying we want their qualifications. Yes, Honorable Swartz.
Chair, maybe I spoke wrong English. Chair, for me, I was asking, Chair, should we really be questioning the deployments of head of missions which are done by the president, that whether they've been done correctly or not. That is what I was saying, that what I remember is that we questioned the placing of staff in missions, and that when they come back, they then get placed in positions where they do not have the skill for. And I agree with you, Chair, that we get a separate report on the skills, but I'm not quite understanding the issue that we are questioning the deployment of head of missions. I might have spoken the wrong English, because I think that one has got a act that governs it. And are we really questioning the skills on the appointment of head of missions? That is where I'm a bit lost, Chair, but I understand and I agree with us getting a report on the skills, because that one we did question on our first oversight in terms of people get placed back.
Thanks, Honorable Swart. Yes, it's agreed we are going to be getting a report on the skills relating to personnel. We are also saying, if in the course of our oversight work we discover that the appointment of any ambassador may have been done not in full compliance with the Act, we will raise that matter as and when it emerges. But for now, we are not demanding the qualifications of ambassadors. Is it right, Honorable Swartz?
Yes, I'm fine, Chair, with that. Thank you, Chair.
Let's go to the next area, Aus Bonolo. I don't know why do I call you Bonolo now. Aus Pinel.
Thank you, Chairperson. Recommendation 21, the one which it talks to outstanding reports due to the committee, so that the department finalizes all the reports that are due to the committee and present them within 60 days. So I think this one, Chairperson, you have already reported on it, that you have written.
Yeah, by the end of the financial year.
So, so it's been fast-tracked. That's why it's within 60 days. It's less than the necessary 3 months. So I think this one can be deleted, because we have already talked to it, Chairperson.
Yes. Okay. I think last week we agreed that we end at 21. Is there an additional one else there?
21, Chairperson, is now on, it will be 22 actually. It's now
we have added that one of investigations. Yeah.
Yes, Chairperson. Okay. So this this one will be to the National Assembly, Chairperson, which the committee were raising matters to the effect that the parliamentary oversight model is inward looking. It should also facilitate the oversight by the committee, and also the committee should also be able to visit missions. The committee should also be able to conduct parliamentary diplomacy to other countries, you know, bilateral, to have oversight on bilateral agreements, and also to project areas where ARF is funding projects, and also to be able to participate in multilateral forums where the department is participating. And then there was also the need for facilitation of synergies between PJIR and the portfolio, and also the issue of friendship groups, that friendship groups should be established in conjunction with the committee. And then the other one, Chairperson, is for heads, meetings of heads of mission that all committee members should be able to attend. And then the usual state of readiness, oversight visits, which the department would be involved in. The committee should be also be allowed to attend those. And the last one is the international conferences held in South Africa that the committee should also be allowed to attend. So these are broken into smaller paragraphs, chapters, and that they are all relating to the recommendation to the National Assembly in terms of the work of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. I'll be now, honourable members, those are the little amendments which are a consequence of our discussions last week. Can we have a mover for adoption of this report?
Sorry, Chair, before we move.
Honourable Swart? Oh, sorry.
It's Mfane.
Yes,
I want honorable. To check point number 14 on the recommendations.
Let's go
it's
to
what
14.
I was talking about, which was in relation with number 10.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's a culture
right.
of consequence, but
in the previous report which we had, point number 14, we requested for it to be rephrased to say that during the skills audit, which will be done for people who are posted abroad, we said it should be rephrased that should there be findings that people who are posted abroad are incompetent and not qualified for the work they have been posted for, that it should be allowed that they return home and qualified people be posted for those positions abroad. It goes back to what Honorable Swart is saying. So I don't know where it went missing there. You find someone goes abroad on a post which they do not have the skills or the qualifications for. And people that are qualified for those positions find themselves redundant in the head office. And people that are not meant to be posted are posted. So angiyazi ukuthi lahleke kuphi that point. Hence I said at point number 10, we'll find it somewhere down here where it says ukuthi people that are posted abroad, when we do skills audit, they can be returned home and people who are qualified and competent for those positions can be posted abroad. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, but I'm sure, Honorable Msane, you'll agree with me that if somebody's employed and there's an action or any rectification that you want to do, you have to follow the law. You must either follow the Public Service Act or concurrently, according to the employment contract. So I think that when we say consequence management culture must be maintained, the minister will have to report to the committee and say, based on the skills audit and so on, in instances where we have discovered that some of the people are employed without the necessary qualifications, as it was required in the advert, what is it that the department is going to do? I think we must leave it there and not conclude now here and say, then you will have to make sure that you terminate those people's employment. Our expectation is that the department will have to act and act in line with the law. I mean, it will be perplexing if such action will be taken and it's not in line with the law. We must actually take the department to task if it's going to act on people and not follow the law. So I think it does cover your point without specifically saying you must terminate people. But when you do consequence management, one of the possible consequences of consequence management it can be termination of employment. So I don't know, but I think it will be difficult for us here and now and say you'll then have to terminate people's employment, because those people might at a later stage take the department to court. And our resolution as a portfolio committee might be used also in their defense in future and vice versa. So I think if we put it broadly enough, legally we are covered, and just say the department must ensure consequence management across the board, whether it's qualifications, whether it's people not performing according to their job descriptions, not meeting targets, if the audit outcomes do not improve, the relevant employees will have to be taken to task by the department without us saying do 1, 2, 3 in order to do consequence management. Honorable Mpanza, if your hand is up, and Honorable Mwela.
Chairperson. Hello?
Yes.
No, thanks, Chairperson. No, I think what happened, Honorable Msani, when we dealt with the issue, we have dealt with the issue, and you have summarized it as we are repeating again. I think she just caught cut off. We said there is going to be a report, the audit report. That report will then inform us about all sorts of things, the skills and also the misplacement of people. And then once that report is brought to us, then we'll then interrogate it. A person who starts comes back and go to finance and all those issues. But we also said that we can't interfere with the prerogative of the president in terms of appointing people, because they are appointed in terms of legislation, the Foreign Service Act and relevant Labor Relations Act. And people also sign performance agreements and all those things. So there is a mechanism by which people are evaluated in terms of their performance. And I think that's not the space for us as a portfolio committee to engage on. But we will wait for the audit report and then to deal with those issues of people. But we can't say people should be recalled be put to other places, or their employment contract be terminated, because there are legislative processes that deal with that, and the department for us is to monitor that they are doing that in terms of what we are saying, consequence management and other legislation in terms of their conditions of employment. So I think we have covered that issue, Chairperson. So I wanted to raise that, to bring that to the attention of the Honorable Msani. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Mwela, we must also start having, remember I asked for a proposal to adopt the report, then Honorable Msani said we before we adopt. She wanted to raise that particular matter. Honorable Mwela?
No, Chairperson, I think Honorable Wimba has covered me largely, because I'm afraid we are now reopening discussions of what we have discussed previously. Today, it was just on issues of amendment. And just to check if House Dineo was able to amend those things that were discussed in our previous meeting. We can't go back and those issues that we've discussed in our last portfolio committee meeting last week. Therefore, based on that, based on your summary and the summary of Honorable Mpaza. I think
somewhere, and the answer was yes. But I also want to second the adopt amendments, Chair.
Honorable Swartz, don't worry, Honorable Musani. The report that comes
Chair.
Will be covered there.
I'm not confused by what I'm saying. First two. These are recording. Nothing we are changing now. That is fine. But also, I'm to find out that report that we are saying we want a report. Currently, in this report, which has been already adopted with amendments, it's not there. Please record the objection of the economic freedom for this report. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You delay us.
Sorry, Honorable Minister. Yeah, we are just but it's okay that there's no problem.